every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Farm living is the life for me.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. It's Rosie on the House, your outdoor living hour. And if you're following along in our home maintenance calendar, you know that we've kind of been off all month long, just recovering from a little oversight that last Christmas was on a Saturday. So we're getting all of our topics caught up here after missing a Saturday. And we're actually switching what was scheduled for February and January, we're reversing them. We have it in our calendar that it was going to be backyard livestock. We're going to move that one to February. But we've got Farmer Greg in here talking deciduous fruit trees. Farmer Greg, welcome to the broadcast. How are you Saturday morning?
Awesome. Always great to hang out with you for an hour.
It's and January's just been such a great month. The weather's been fabulous.
Right.
A couple cloudy days here and there, but for the most part, man, just clear blue skies and great weather.
Well, and January often teases us into this lull of, okay, we're going to have 70s, and then February gets cold again. So,
absolutely.
Just maybe it might get cold again.
Although
past couple of years, right? Exactly. The past couple of years, it hasn't. So we'll see.
We'll see, but this is a great time to work on your urban orcharding.
Mm-hmm. So, urban orcharding, planting fruit trees. My favorite thing to plant is a fruit tree. Why? Because you plant it once, you give it a little fertilizer, you give it a lot of water, and it'll make fruit for you for 20, 30, 50, 100 years. I have an Arizona sweet orange in the backyard here at the urban farm that was planted in the 1920s.
Still producing
reliably almost, every year.
Almost 100 years old, or I guess depending on what time in the 20s.
In the 20s, exactly. But the reason I know that is because when I moved into the neighborhood 32 years ago, there was this guy named Wes, and he was ancient then. He was probably 90 when I moved onto the street. He actually grew up in this neighborhood, and he gave me a little bit of history, because I live in what used to be an old citrus orchard.
And he knew the history of the area and the planting, and that tree through development had been, you know, spared.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. In fact, when I moved in 32 years ago, we had about 10 of the old citrus trees, and they've since aged out, but two of them still exist out in the back. And Arizona sweets are great for juicing.
And that, I'm with you that, you know, it's something you plant and you're done. I don't mind working. I don't mind gardening. I don't mind, you know, being out there in the soil. But I also don't mind watering the tree and just letting it produce. I mean, they take very little effort.
Right? And yeah, that really nurtures the lazy gardener in me.
And just they can yield so much.
Oh, my gosh. The joke around here used to be, one of these days, I'm going to get enough oranges. I love oranges. I'll eat 3 to 5 a day. I'm going to get enough oranges here in the next year or two that I can share some with my mom. And I have like 15 navel-like oranges on the property here because I love them so much. Well, about 2 years ago, that shifted to, okay, now I can share some with my mom and the neighbors and you guys down at the station and everybody else that wants them, because they are so incredibly, incredibly prolific.
And citrus in particular, over any other type of other fruit, they will stay on the tree ripe for so long. It's not like peaches where you have to be ready to harvest and can quick. And that rind on the outside, very little things mess with it. Birds will eat the peaches before you can get to them if you're not careful. But they, you know, citrus hardly get messed with. And every now and then you find something that has, but they just stay there, ripe, ready. You pick and graze as you go. And we love to go out and pick a random assortment from our orchard and squeeze it. And it It's every drink is different. It might have Pink Lady, grapefruit with some orange in this one, and a little bit of lime and lemon, just depending on what. And it's really a nice way to enjoy a citrus drink.
Oh yeah,
A lot of times, one brand of citrus could be too strong by itself. You mix a couple of them together, and it kind of just balances itself out nicely.
I'm sitting over here thinking, Greg, I have never mixed them like that. What a great idea.
30 years at that farm and you never thought about that?
I guess not. When you're right about citrus, we usually start getting navel oranges, pink navel, which are caracaras, and Washington navels about the end of November. And we get them on the tree November, December, into January. We get Trovitas in January, February, into March. And we get Arizona Sweets and Mineola Tangelos January, February, March, April. The Arizona Sweets can stay on the tree until June.
And so you've got it almost a complete year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice.
And that's what we're here doing today, is helping you get that lined out for your home, castle, or cabin. And you don't need a lot of space. You hear Farmer Greg talk and you think, man, this guy must have a monster property. But this is a third of an acre?
Third of an acre, 80 feet wide by 160 feet deep. And I counted them recently. I have 71 producing fruit trees on the property on a third of an acre, 80 feet wide, 160 feet deep. And what I do is I use the front yard and backyard, the edges. So along the street, I have a full hedge of citrus that run along the street. And I think that's about 10 citrus trees. So I have street, berm, citrus hedge, my front yard. So it's a privacy wall and it makes food. So lots and lots of fruit. So we actually get fruit about 9 months a year. It's really hard in July, August, September. But starting in October all the way through June, we get an amazing amount of fruit here.
And what's that date again? Is it July 10th when everything should just be off the tree because it's going to cook, right? That's give or take.
And actually over the last couple of years, I've said July 1st because, the 2019-2020 were our hottest summers ever on record. And so, that just has a tendency to cook things on the trees.
So we've got 71 fruit trees. You've got a nice privacy wall up front, which is very nice. It's not that you're on a really busy street, but it is when all the other homes, you've got a perfect privacy screen. It's a very nice little setting. You've got your front yard. Talk about how you trim them to keep them that size.
Perfect. We teach people through our program. You can find out about it at fruittrees.org. We teach people through our program how to keep trees small through pruning and management of the size. The reason we do that is because a peach tree that's 30 feet tall, the fruit on the top of the peach tree is bird food. So really what we're after is figuring out how to keep the trees small, again, through pruning, not through dwarf fruit stock. That's a really important thing. I'm often asked, how do I get a dwarf tree? And the thing about dwarf trees is that the dwarfing rootstocks generally don't like the desert soil. So we have to go with semi-dwarfs or standard trees and then keep them pruned so that they're small. That way they're easy to harvest. And there's this other concept that I like to teach about called successive ripening. And that's especially good with like peaches, because we can actually start harvesting peaches about mid-May all the way to the end of June, depending on the variety. And Romy, you were right saying we've got 2 weeks when a peach tree is coming ripe. So our desert gold peach, usually around May 10th, 11th, 12th, it starts ripening. We have about 2 weeks to get that fruit off of there. And then there's the tropic snow peach or the Soise swirl peach that kind of arrives in the middle. So by the end of May, those varieties are starting to ripen. And then they'll ripen and stay on the tree until about mid-June. And then about that time, we get a really nice, this is a harder peach. It's got a harder flesh to it, but it's really nice. Called a mid-pride peach that ripens toward the end of June. So this represents what we call successive ripening. So if you plant three or four peach trees, make sure that they're ripening at different times so that, you know, over the course of that 6 or 8 weeks, you get four different types. Plus, by keeping the trees small, you're getting, functionally, you're getting less fruit. You know, a peach tree can easily be 30 feet tall and 20 feet wide, and that could make 1,000 peaches easily. And what are you going to do with 1,000 peaches in a 2-week period? That becomes a in permaculture, we call that a pollution problem. So by keeping the tree small, I have a perfectly pruned desert gold peach in the front yard, and it's 9 feet tall, and it's got a diameter of probably 9 feet. And I get 100 to 150 peaches off of that tree in a 2-week period, which is plenty. Really, that amount of peaches is almost too much for two people. So I'm, you know, looking for neighbors and sharing with family and like that.
And your harvest time is a lot faster because you're not having to move your ladder. You're not using long, you know, I don't know what they call them, fruit pickers that got the pole with the basket right, on the end. Half the time when you go get it, you end up pulling off branches that come with it or something.
Exactly.
You know, you can stand on the ground and work all the way around and harvest them very efficiently time-wise.
Exactly.
Hang tight. We'll be right back with Farmer Greg.